morning. We'll be reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good morning. So what comes to your mind when you hear the word journey? Think about that for a moment. It's very fitting that several of our songs today had the word journey in them. Talked about a journey. Maybe that's some of the thoughts that come to your mind. Maybe it's the rock band journey that comes to your mind. Being tickled here. Excuse me. Move that out of the way. Maybe you think of something else like the scenes of the Oregon Trail. That was an amazing journey. I kind of got caught up a little bit. Here's some more scenes of the Oregon Trail. These are ruts from wagons going up soft sandstone that are still there. You could go and see that. A picture of Mitchell's Pass there. And maybe these are some thoughts that come to your mind when you think of journey. Maybe you think of a long trip, as already alluded to. Or maybe you think of something like an adventure. Often an adventure is something that we refer to as a journey. A time of change in your life, or the process, if you will, of the experience that led up to that time of change might be something that you think of as a journey. Or life itself is certainly a journey. We talked about that yesterday at Alice's funeral, how her journey had come to an end physically. And we think about that often. Journey defined is quite simply a couple of definitions here. It's traveling from one place to another, usually taking a rather long time. When we think of a journey, we think of a long trip in most cases. A distance, a course, or an area traveled, or suitable for traveling, a desert journey maybe. A period of travel is another idea that comes to mind. A passage or progress from one stage to another, the journey of success. But I'd like us to think that our Christian life is a journey. We are on, if you think about it, a trip to heaven. A trip to heaven. It's a journey of faith. And that's what I really want us to focus on this morning. Today we want to note some of the mileposts, for lack of a better term, in our journey of faith. And those mileposts that I'd like us to look at on our journey of faith this morning are kind of summed up in the seven C's. One of those, the first one that we'll look at is being called, and then being chosen, and commissioned, and clothed, and controlled, and covered. Catch up with me. And then finally, crowned. The journey of faith. Called, chosen, commissioned, controlled, covered, and crowned. This is the battery you need to change. Got a new battery in the mic today, so I'm good for 5 hours. So hope you brought sandwiches. Russ always tells me how many hours I have, and I appreciate that. Well, when we think about being... Well, then I went too far. What have I done here? What did I do? All right. I think this is where we start. We're going to anyways, one way or the other. Let's talk about called. A couple of passages here. from Isaiah chapter 43, first of all, verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. The idea that God calls us, and He calls us by name. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. I truly believe that our journey of faith, our life as a child of God begins when we answer or respond to the call of God. It is an awesome privilege to receive a call from God. All mankind receives a call of salvation from God, and all believers are called to serve Him in some way. Have you ever received an important call? You know, I think about that in my life. There have been several times, you know, that time when you're going through those interviews, and I've been through a lot of interviews, had some opportunities to move different places and get jobs. I remember applying for a preaching position up in Fargo, North Dakota, and the call I got there, I didn't like. They didn't offer me the job. This is embarrassing. Oh, excuse me, I need to take this. Yes? Yes, that's fine. No. Oh, yeah. Can we talk later? All right, thank you. I apologize for that. That was God. We all get calls from God. He touches base on a regular... touches base with me on a regular basis, and so that's one of those important calls. You need to answer it when God calls. But as I was saying, I got that call from Fargo, and it wasn't the kind of call that I wanted. It was one of those no answers. But I remember getting the call from Independence, Iowa, when we relocated over here from Nebraska, and it was an exciting call, a job offer, and everything that we were looking for, and had that experience again this last year when Manchester called, and those are great calls. But, you know, sometimes it does happen. Those calls that we get in life don't always go the way that we want them to go. And the difference between how you feel about that, I mean, when somebody calls you and says, we're really not interested at this time, it's discouraging, it's frustrating, it causes you to have doubts. But I want you to know, when you get that call from God, it's always positive. He apologized for interrupting. But it's always positive, and He always calls. What it really comes down to is, did you answer the phone when He called? Did you answer that call? God will always call. Let's see if we can get this going again. Whoop, my word. Yep. Somebody up here with some technical skills. The next C in our journey of faith is chosen. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people. Now, listen to how He describes you. He's talking to you. He says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Okay? He's called you because you're special. He's chosen you because you're special, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. Matthew 20 and verse 16, so the last will be the first and the first will be the last. There's some privilege that comes with being chosen by God. Don't you love it as you get older and you're the first one that gets to go through the potluck line? There's privilege with that. And there's privilege with being chosen by God. Although many are called, some fail to respond, and hence they are not chosen. They are not chosen. We need to realize to be chosen by God, you have to respond to that call. And when you don't respond to that call, you lose the privilege because of the disobedience of not responding to that call. And it is disobedience. It's important for us to understand that. However, those who respond to the call of God are chosen by Him. And the choice of God is final. Once a person has been chosen by God Himself, no one can overrule it. Every time that I've been hired by a school,
I had to wait for the board meeting to be approved. Because the superintendent always offers you the job, but then the superintendent makes a recommendation to hire you to the school board. And the school board has to meet and decide whether or not you actually get the job. Now, usually it works out, but it's not a guarantee. And I can remember every time, you know, the superintendent saying, here's the plan, this is what we're hoping to do, but we got to wait until the next board meeting to find out if they approve it. But it's not like that with God. When He makes the choice, there is no board approval to be waited on. He is the board. The buck stops here with God. When He makes the choice, it's eternal. From being chosen, then, we look at our commission. John 15 and 16 says, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Matthew 28, 19, of course, you can't talk about commission and not refer to Matthew 28, where Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, everyone chosen by God is also given a commission. And we've talked a lot about this in the last couple of weeks, talking about understanding what our gifts are, understanding what the task is that God has called us to. And I hope you've had a chance to take that spiritual inventory and spend some time in prayer and reflection, thinking about how God has blessed you, as well as thinking about how important it is that you fulfill that task that God has called you to. And another way maybe to look at that, to fulfill that task that you have been commissioned by God to do. No one called and chosen by God is left without a ministry. And another thing to understand about that is no one is left without the blessing of God, the equipping of God, to do the work that God has called us to do. And that's the exciting part of that. God empowers us, equips us, enables us to do the work that He's caused us, that He's called us to do. But not only that, He puts a joy in our heart when we do it. You know, I love the work that I do. But if I could quit tomorrow, I would. But you know, it's different when you're working for God. And let me clarify that. Not this job, my school job, my other job. That's the job I'm talking about. I don't want to quit this job. Although the general task of evangelizing the world is given to the whole church, we need to realize that each minister is, or each member is assigned a particular part, a task, a job, a work that is necessary that we be busy with in order to fulfill the Great Commission as a whole, as a church today. The secret of victorious service to God is discovering what that blessing is that God has given us, what that task is, what that job is, and putting our hand to it. Consider, if you went and bought an apple tree, and you planted that apple tree in your yard, and it didn't produce fruit, what would you do with it? Cut it down. Well, you guys are ruthless. Come on, give it a chance. Okay, we'll give it a year, and it's still fruitless. What are you going to do? All right, it's time to cut it down. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's exactly what God has promised to do as well. The apple tree that does not bear fruit really is worthless. It really is. Now, we might argue the beauty of it, the shade of it, but the purpose of it is to bear fruit. And we have been called to bear fruit. That's kind of a strong statement to say that if we're not bearing fruit, that we're worthless. And maybe that's not an accurate statement. But I hope it got your attention to think about, all right, then, the preacher might not be right. But what does God think? What would God say? And that's what counts. That's what counts. We are called to bear fruit according to the seed God has planted in us. And that's Christians, disciples, fellow believers and workers. I want to say this too. It's important that we identify what our task is, okay?
You don't have to worry about imitating what anybody else is doing. You don't have to worry about doing the job that somebody else is doing. What you do need to be concerned about is what is it that God has blessed you with. I don't need you all preaching. Okay? Because you won't need me anymore. That's not good for me. You know, we need to realize we are a very diverse group. And we need to figure out, again, what those blessings are for us as individuals and do that. Along with being commissioned, we are also clothed. Luke 24 and verse 49 says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, if you think about it, there are a lot of ways that we could talk about how God clothes us. The armor of God is something we've talked about recently. The fruits of the spirits, I think, is another way to think about how God clothes us, if you will. The promise to be equipped for the task that He has called us to is another way to think about how God has clothed us. A person commissioned by God will also be clothed by God. That is, given everything necessary to fulfill that commission, to fulfill that task. God will give the necessary anointing and power, as well as the gifts and the talents needed to fulfill that commission. A person commissioned to sing for God will surely be clothed with the necessary voice to sing. Everything that is needed will be given along with that task. No army would send its soldiers out to battle without properly equipping them. Now, if man has figured that out, certainly God has figured that out. Along with being clothed, we are also controlled in this journey of faith. This is an important point. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. For 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Are you pleasing your commanding officer in this spiritual journey? In this journey of faith? Every person commissioned and clothed by God will be required to be under His control. That's how it works. That's how it works. Anyone deliberately going out of God's control will ultimately head towards destruction. Consider, if you will, pilots of airplanes. In spite of their skills and experience and the sophistication of their aircraft, they still need the control tower for their safety. Carl, can I get an amen on that? There you go. Got a pilot sitting here with us. You know, I had the experience one time of going up with a pilot friend in a King Air jet. And I learned an awful lot about how important it was, that tower. Now, we weren't flying into a big airport, so we had to look for that little flashing green light. And had to know how to turn those runway lights on. And we had to, you know, trust people that were on the ground, you know, to make sure that everything went the way that it went so that we were safe and everybody else was safe, especially those we flew over. Didn't want to be landing in their homes or anything. But God is that control tower in our lives. He keeps us focused. He keeps us going in the right direction. But more importantly, when we get askew, when we lose our justification, He brings us back. He brings us back. That is, if we respond to His control. Covering. Being covered. Psalms 91, beginning at verse 1, says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Talk to Kathy about those Decora Eagles. She watches them all the time, constantly. She's already online, has been for months. I don't think she ever stopped watching them. So if you need to know anything about them. But one of the things that she'll tell you about is last year after those three eaglets were hatched, am I using the right term? She's always correcting me when I talk wrong about them. Don't call them chicks, they're eaglets. And in that snow and rain, how the mother and father would take turns covering those eaglets with their wings. And that's exactly the picture that we get of God here from Psalm 91. How He protects us no matter what the storms in life. Those eaglets never knew that there was a storm, nuzzled safely under mom or dad's feathers. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord." You see, a person under God's control will enjoy God's covering of protection. Even under the desperate attacks of the enemy, the covering of God will repulse and defeat every destructive attack on his life and ministry. It was just like Sam sharing that story this morning in class about how this idol was found prostrate before the covenant of the Ark of God. The covering of God is the greatest and safest shield in our lives and for the work that He has called us to do. No other human and earthly protection, whether the help of people or the influence of material wealth, can substitute the covering of God and the protection that He provides. How many times do we find ourselves trusting too much in ourselves or in things? Our position, our power, our wealth, whatever it might be. And those things only pull us from God. And we need to realize that as we are pulled from God, we are pulled from His protection. And we become vulnerable. We become weak. We become a target. And then finally, the crowning in our journey of faith. 2 Timothy, beginning at verse 7 in chapter 4. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing." From Matthew 25 and verse 21, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness.'" And finally, from Revelation 3 and verse 11, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." At the end of the journey of faith, there is a glorious crowning. Worldly people may boast of their honors bestowed on them by great men of this world, but God's people have the greatest privilege because at the end of their walk with God, there is a coronation where they will receive a crown, not from an earthly king, not from a president, but from the Almighty God Himself. There were some pretty important things on TV last night. Did you catch it? Not talking about the game. How many of you saw this? Man's crowns, is the point I want to make, aren't eternal. This young woman got a crown last night. Meet our new Miss America. You mean you didn't watch this last night? Yes. This is former Miss Wisconsin, Laura Capeler. And she was crowned last night. Congratulations, Laura. Miss America. Her crown, though, will be taken away from her in a year. Oh, she'll get to keep the jewelry, you know. But you know, for this next year, Miss America will be an ambassador, if you will, for America. And she'll travel around and do great things. A couple of years ago, I believe it was 07, And I don't know, maybe I shouldn't admit knowing so much about Miss America pageants, but... Glenn looks shocked. Well, in, I believe it was 07 or maybe 08, Miss Iowa finished runner-up. You remember that? Come on, Miss Iowa. Got to support the home team. Well, anyways, I got to meet her. I had her come to my school over in Independence. She travels, very common kind of thing for these ladies to go back to their home states and travel around. And she came, and I always liked it because she autographed me a picture. A beautiful young woman, just really in every way. But I love putting that picture. I had it up in my office, and it was a nice little sign on. Oh, Kathy looks disgusted. Yeah, she never did like that picture. People would come into my, kids would come into my office, and they'd see that picture and go, "Is that your wife?" I'm like, "I wish." I mean, no. What a pageant last night. I mean, the Broncos were losing. I had to watch something, so. But my point is this. Her crown will be taken away. It really doesn't mean anything. I mean, I'm happy for Laura. Congratulations. She worked very hard. But the crowns that men give to each other don't mean anything. The crown that means something is the one that God gives us. And it's a crown that waits for us at the end of our journey of faith. And so I ask you, where are you in your journey of faith? And the big question is, have you started the journey yet? Have you responded to the call yet? Today you have an opportunity. You've been called. You've been called. But have you responded? Because until you respond to that call from God, through obedience to His gospel, through, and as we talked in class tonight, realizing that this isn't just something you're going to do today. It's a commitment for the rest of your life. It's the beginning of a journey. And if you expect to receive that crown in the end, the journey has to start. If you're here today and you need to start that journey, we're here to help you. We're here as fellow travelers to travel with you the journey of faith. Won't you come? Well, together we stand and sing.